This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Taylor Quimby, in for Virginia Prescott. There's a time-honored place where the smell of talcum powder fills the air, where the straight-edge razor is still a sacred tool, where the burn of aftershave is tempered by the refreshing cocoon of a hot towel, and where, of course, guys can be guys. We're talking about old-school barbershops. Once staples in small towns and urban communities alike, these group hangouts are slowly disappearing, a trend that raises questions about the community, social bonding, and socioeconomics of getting a trim. Kristen Barber is an author and assistant professor of sociology at Southern Illinois University Carbondale. Her new book is called Styling Masculinity: Gender, Class, and Inequality in the Men's Grooming Industry. And Kristen, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Of course. So you're a sociologist by trade. What made you want to look at barbershops as a subject?
I got interested in the beauty industry, grooming, and its relationship with gender. Beauty shops and barbershops are historically sex-segregated American institutions, and they're places where people create community. And when I first started my research, I was actually interested in women and women in beauty and beauty practices and beauty salons. But when I went to the literature, there's just so much good stuff written about women and beauty, particularly how women create relationships in beauty shops or how they might create their own businesses and support their families, and also how they approximate ideal definitions of femininity in these places. But what we don't see is a lot of research on men and men in these spaces. And so my research was really focused on evening this out, sort of filling a gap in the research.
Well, according to census data, the 20 years between 1992 and 2012 saw a 23% decrease in the number of U.S. barbershops. Did you get a sense what's happening, where they're going?
Yeah, 23% is a huge drop. And this is actually according to, like you said, census data, which tracks barbershops as businesses and enterprises. And in my book, I contribute the decline of the barbershop and consequently the growth of men's salons to both economic and sociocultural shifts. So what we've seen in this time is an emphasis in some populations on definitions of new, progressive, stylish presentations of masculinity. So the men in my study, for example, who are clients of high-end men's salons, tend to define the barbershop as a place for little boys and for old men who don't really, you know, want to spend a lot of money, who don't really care about how they look.
Yeah, the basic crew cut.
Absolutely, the flat top, right? They see the barbershop as a place where you might roll the dice or where everybody comes out with the same haircut, right? And the men's salon as a place for maybe hipper, more progressive men, professional men who supposedly care about how they look. And so, you know, what's interesting is that these men's salons aren't just a place for young men who sort of see the barbershop as passé, but I saw a lot of middle-aged professional men who felt that the men's salon was a place where they could shore up their appearances to compete in the white-collar workplace, to compete with younger men. And they felt like the barbershop wasn't a place for them to do this.
Going to a men's salon is probably going to cost you, you know, somewhere in the $40, $50 range plus. You know, these barbershops are places where you can also get a reliably cheap haircut. So does that factor in as potentially a problem with the disappearance of barbershops?
Yes. So these men's salons become exclusive places. They actually, in a way, reflect the exclusiveness of barbershops. So barbershops are not just sex-segregated spaces, but they tend to be racially segregated. They tend to be places that are affordable, whereas the men's salon, all right, only certain men can afford to go to these places.
Okay, so maybe what these people who are transitioning from the old school barbershop to the men's salon, what they're getting is a more sophisticated haircut, probably a more expensive haircut. What are they losing? I mean, what is lost when these barbershops, these community centers, disappear?
Yes, and that's such a great question, and I think that's why it's sociologically interesting, this shift, because the barbershop has played an important role in creating community for men. The barbershop has a long tradition in American culture, and barbers were actually on hand in ancient Rome in plazas to shore up men's stubble. But What we lose is a place for community. The barbershop, and especially the barbershop in Black communities, has been a place where men can mentor other men. The barber has served an important role in their communities as leaders and communities, as loan providers, maybe even for young men in their neighborhoods. These are places where men engage discussions of politics. Most research on the barbershop does focus on the Black barbershop, and so we see that these are places where men can come and talk about the racial politics in the United States. These are places where husbands and fathers bring their young boys to talk with older men. So it's a place for socializing young boys. And it's generally a place of community and well-being for men where they can seek out friendships that are so key to our well-being. What's important to stress here, Taylor, is that they don't necessarily, they're not dissolving in all neighborhoods. And so these are places that we're losing largely in white neighborhoods, but not necessarily Black or Latino neighborhoods where they still play an important role in the community.
It's almost like a new barometer for social stratification and gentrification.
Absolutely. It absolutely is. And what's key to stress here is that we might be losing one thing, but we're gaining another. So we're losing a place where men create community in these middle and upper middle class white, well-to-do areas. But these men who go to men's salons that are popping up instead are creating one-on-one relationships with female hairstylists. So they're sort of they're gaining another sort of relationship.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, I was thinking about how implicitly or not, so much of hairstyle has to do with our ideas of masculinity and femininity. And I was wondering whether or not you saw this trend as reflecting changes to our ideas of masculinity moving forward. You know, there's a lot of hairstyles now that our young men might be wearing that would seem very out of place in, say, the 50s or the 60s, you know, the heyday maybe of the barbershop.
Right. So, you know, the barbershop used to be a place where men could go for a haircut, but also for a manicure. And now we don't really see a lot of variety in the services that barbershops provide, but hair salons do provide this. And so the men who go to these men's hair salons are able to get the sort of sex-segregated, nostalgic feel of the barbershop while at the same time attempting to get stylish haircuts. They can get manicures, pedicures, facials.
I didn't know that men getting manis was a thing back in the 50s.
Yes, barbershops used to provide men manicures in addition to their shapes and their haircuts.
Maybe at some point it was actually more integrated too, in terms of there was less like judgment or there was less machismo.
Yes, and these, what's so interesting and what my book focuses on is the ways in which hair salons are trying to appeal to men. So the men's hair salons don't actually call themselves hair salons. They call themselves maybe grooming environment, right?
I'm sorry to laugh.
No. It is funny. And they one of the salons I studied redefined manicures as hand detailing. So as if you were detailing a car,
right,
rather than providing a manicure. And so these salons do a lot of work trying to convince men that these are not stigmatizing places. These are not places their wives or their girlfriends would go.
Yeah, it's all about the euphemisms.
Yes, it absolutely is. I have a whole section in my book on the language that sort of deployed in redefining the salon as a place for men. And so the women in these spaces, the largely women beauty providers, are really key in doing sort of one-on-one, face-to-face work in convincing men that the salon is the place to be.
Well, Kristen, thank you so much for speaking with me.
Thank you so much.
Kristen Barber is an assistant professor of sociology at Southern Illinois University and author of Styling Masculinity, Gender, Class, and Inequality in the Men's Grooming Industry. You can find a link to her article for The Conversation, Goodbye to the Barbershop. That link is at our website, wordofmouthradio.org.